About the table up because my wife and I are going to do a message for you today. Just playing. She's like, yeah. What happened?
Meniscus
and MCL. Tore it again?
Yeah.
Does it hurt right now?
Yeah.
You mind if we speak over it, prophesy? If you want to run, you do it by faith. You don't have to leave it on. In the name of Jesus, we just speak healing right now. We command that cartilage to grow. We thank you for healing, total healing in that meniscus and ACL. Father God, we thank you, Lord. You are the healer. You set to prophesy over those things. And Lord, we are prophesying over this knee right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this young man. We thank you for his heart and his dedication to you, Lord. And we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. It isn't just his, it's your faithfulness. And you are the one true God. Father, we speak healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. And if you want to test it out, I'm not going to be ashamed if you run around and you start doing stuff. I said, we just kind of go with it. That's what we do. If you feel like running, you run. If you want to test it out, you can test it out. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. I was wanting a Dean. I said, well, not Dean, but Raymond. I was going to tell him to play that prophesy, and I didn't know y'all was doing that for worship. That's awesome. Why? Because I had in my notes in here today, I want you just take the time. I said the chair right next to you, prophesy over it. Command it to be filled right now in the name of Jesus. Just start prophesying over it. Just start speaking to it. The empty chair right next to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. This whole row, Father God, filled. Filled in the name of Jesus. People wanting to know you. Hallelujah. Thank you. If you got your Bibles, open up to 1 Peter 2, chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 7 through 9. And the title of my message today is Creation is Waiting. It was anticipating. And why are they waiting? They're anticipating for the manifestations and the revealing, for God to reveal who his children really are. It says, yes, who? You who trust him, recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they did not obey God's word. Again, this year is the year of obedience. And so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. The kingdom of God is here to build up, not tear down. That's what it's about. It's about building people up. We build up. We build up. And then that's not something that we can fake. Can't fake building people up and then tearing them down. We build up. True believers love the justice of God. God is a God of justice. He loves justice. As much as we do, as much as we want to see the evil people being prosecuted, what have you, God loves that even more. Those who are oppressed, God loves that even more. When people do you wrong, abuse, God loves the fact that justice will be coming to those who are calling out to him. He knows the difference. So when you are a chosen people. He knows the difference. There are things that you're going to face. You're going to face affliction. You're going to face persecution. You're going to face false accusations. These things happen because you are a chosen people. Jesus was the chosen one. Joseph was a chosen person. We know what happened with Joseph. We all know the story. You know, his dad favored him among all of his other brothers. And see, they were walking in love, but it was more so a love to hate. You ever had that? I mean, sometimes some people just, I just don't like them. And it's nothing that they ever did to you, but you just don't like them. Why? Because it's that, like, that competitive spirit that I just don't really like them. There's something about them I just don't like. Joseph's brothers didn't like him. He walked around with that coat of many colors. Look at him over there, looking like Rainbow Bright. He thinks he's cool. Man, we need to do something about him. And he's over here telling us that we're going to bow down to him. Who does he think he is? Joseph was a chosen one. But chosen ones don't have the easiest road. They got one of the most difficult paths ever. Why? People, listen, I understand. Our words can get us in trouble. Our actions can get us in trouble. But sometimes when you're just doing right, people just don't like you just to not like you because you're chosen. Your good spirit rubs their evil spirit the wrong way. They just don't like you. They're going to hate you for no reason. They hated Jesus for no reason. They just didn't like him. So we all know what happens. They end up plotting to kill him, but instead they put him in a hole and sold him into slavery, and then he started working. He was paid for by Potiphar, worked in his house, and then Potiphar's wife was wanting to tap that, and didn't happen. Joseph, I'm out of here. Got falsely accused, thrown into jail. People thought, well, that's the end of him. But God was able to turn everything around. And I said, and the thing about Joseph, and I always go back and read it, I said, Joseph never complained. Now, we don't have it in full context on what he was thinking and saying. But scripturally, it says he never complained. But every situation that God put him in, he was prospering in. Because the favor of God was on him. The favor of God is on all of us that are believers. And we don't even have it as bad as Joseph. And the favor of God is on us. So when you're chosen, there's certain things is going to happen. You know, when you're chosen, you got anointed ears. You don't have to listen to what other people are saying. See, you can read the tabloids or you can read the word. So you can diddle down on all this the tabloid stuff and what people are saying. Man, did you hear about so-and-so the other day? Yes, yeah, so-and-so. Yep, I heard that he was doing this and they were doing that. They were out drinking it and carrying on and doing all this other stuff. Did you hear about homegirl over there? Man, homegirl, yeah, she got a little nip tuck. You know, got her chin tucked in and stuff and, you know, face is looking like this. And I mean, we can stay in the tabloids all day long, but the chosen, their ears are anointed. So when that news comes to them, it just falls dead. Because sometimes we can gossip and not even know we're gossiping because we're just trying to inquire whether or not somebody heard it. No, I haven't heard it, but thanks for telling me. Now I'm going to see about so-and-so over here, see if they heard it. And the thing about it is that God doesn't want us staying in those tabloids, even though it's very entertaining, pretty funny at times. The chosen ones, they're the ones that get put into isolation. People turned against you for no apparent reason. You can just be minding your business and people will just look at you different. I said, why? Because you're chosen. They will put you in isolation. But that's where greatness happens, because it's not isolation, it's solitude and prayer with God. That's the time for you to commune with the Lord. If you feel like you're isolated, that's going to happen. Why don't people like me, God? Why is it that everybody is coming against me? You're chosen. You don't have to fight that. When you know you're chosen, you can just roll with it. It's going to happen. It will happen. If it hasn't happened to you yet, it will happen. Why does it seem like I've outgrown this group of friends right here? Why does it seem like everybody, when I look in the mirror, when I'm looking in the crowd, why I feel like I'm the smartest person in the room? Why can't they see what I see, Lord, what you're showing me? Because you're chosen. There are some things that you can see in people that other people, that they can't even see in themselves. Because you're chosen. you're chosen. See, Satan doesn't want you to be free. He wants you to keep you in bondage, thinking that it will mark you. He will mark you. People say, that, oh, I'm going to mark you. I said, no, don't worry about that. Satan is powerless. Very, very powerless. I mean, he's under your feet. He can't mark you one bit. Well, I'm going to mark you. I'm going to monitor you. I'm going to surveillance you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to have people harass you, do all these other things and talk about you. I said, listen, growing up, I didn't have much of a relationship with God. But I went to church. I was religious. Lived my faith through my mom and dad. And the thing about it is that I didn't know that God was in my life as much as I thought he was. And so all the time whenever I refer back to hoops, that's what he was showing me in that instance. You're gonna be marked? You're gonna be monitored? Okay. Listen, when you were playing a game, they were watching your every move. They were learning your every plays. They were watching how you dribble the ball, which way you like to go, which plays they ran for you. They were calling it out, and you still scored. They can't stop you even. The enemy can't stop you even if he knows the plays. Even if he knows the plans, he can't stop you. You run it to execution. You're executing that stuff. He can't stop you. He's the one that will mess up. Hey, yep, we're running right, okay? You can just look that guy, if you're a lineman, you can just look that guy in the face and be like, you know what? We're running right. Oh, you are? We're going right. Your left, my right. But guess what? I'm going to put my helmet right up under your chin, and I'm going to drive you up, and I'm going to lift you up, and there ain't going to be a doggone thing you can do about it. Every single play, I'll tell you what we're getting ready to do. Why? Because you execute. The enemy cannot stop what God wants to do in your life. So don't get thrown off when people want to mark you. You were already built for this. You've got greatness on the inside of you. You're a chosen people. And the thing about it is that we can't do this on the human level. Now, people just talk about, hey, we're humans. I'm just a human. I'm flawed. I said, but you are. But God doesn't look at you that way. He sees himself in you. And the Bible says that you are God's. You are God's. Psalms 82:3:8. It says, give justice to the poor and the orphan. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and helpless. Deliver them from the grasp of evil people. But these oppressors know nothing. They are so ignorant. They wander about in darkness while the whole world is shaken to the core. I say, you are gods. You are all children of the Most High. But you will die like mere mortals and fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, and judge the earth, for all the nations belong to you. You are children of the Most High. Not children of the least low. I'd rather be a child of the Most High, Jehovah God here, than when he created you. The Bible says in Hebrews, it says he made you a little lower than angels. But when Christ has come down and has raised us up and seated us in heavenly places with him, God, children of God, angels, children of the devil, all the way down here. Why would you want to rock with that? He's made us a little, we're right up underneath God, children of God. We're right here. Angels is right up under us. I'm talking about an angel that can wipe out an army with one blow. They're under you as a child of God. Boy, that's powerful. And he would love nothing more than just to have you think about this right here, your flesh. Not because you're white, not because you're black. It's about what's on the inside of you. You all have a target on your back. As soon as you came into the kingdom, you got a target, a big target. So you've already been marked. But guess what? God marked you first. And the enemy can't erase that. Amen? Come on. We are made a little lower than angels. Romans 8:18. says, as yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal, excuse me, who his children really are. All of creation is waiting eagerly for that future. Every animal that God had created, even, I mean, the trees, the birds in the air, the sea creatures, everything is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the revealing of God's children. They're waiting on you. They're waiting for God to reveal who his children really are. Man, that's another level. You got another version? This is the Amplified version. It says, but what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. For even the whole world, creation, all nature, wait expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing, the disclosing of their sonship. Give me another version. We're going to hit it. It says, this Passion Translation, I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. Give me another version. Okay. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. Give me another version. This is the CEV. I am sure what we are suffering now cannot compare with the glory that will be shown to us. In fact, all creation is eagerly waiting for God to show who his children are. Give me another version. This is the easy English version. During this time now, we have troubles and pain, but I am sure that these troubles are not really very great. One day, God will show us all the great things he has prepared for us that we have now seen very small. The whole universe that God has made now awaits for something great to happen. Hope to find out who God's children really are. Give me another version. This is the International Children's Bible. I mean, we got to break it down to another level. We have sufferings now, but the sufferings we have now are not nothing compared to the great glory that will be revealed, given to us. Everything that God made is waiting with excitement for the time when God will show the world who his children are. The whole world wants very much for that to happen. Do I have another one there? Yes, we do. Come on now. Plain English version. We're going to get Ebonics next. But don't worry about the trouble we get now. Later, God will make everything so good for us that we will not even think about the trouble we get now. It is like this. Everything in the world is waiting for that time when God will set everything right and show everyone who his kids really are. People, do I have another one? My goodness. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Any more? That's it. We can take it every version that we want. All creation is waiting for you, waiting for God to reveal his sons and daughters. Still think you're just a human? Man, you're more than that. You are way more than that. That doesn't happen because everything is going good in your life. You know, when Superman, anybody watch Superman? You a DC fan? Well, when everything was going okay, Superman wasn't on the scene. It was just Clark Kent. He was chilling. He was trying to get a date with Lois Lane. He was trying to get them digits, man. Sitting at, you know, doing his work, doing his writing and stuff, and eating his ham and cheese sandwich. Everything was good, but when chaos broke out, that's when he ran and changed. Superman came out. Sonship was revealed. You have that sonship in you. Things aren't going to happen. I said, the reason why you're here on this earth is not just the fellowship with the Father. That is first and foremost, and that is the most important. There's chaos going around. The children of God don't create chaos, they make peace. We don't go around creating chaos like we're Dennis the Menace. We make peace. Jesus calmed the storms. The Bible says it was for this purpose that he was manifested, that the Son of God might destroy the works of the devil. You were created to do just that and even more. And even more. Why? Because creation is waiting for you. So if the enemy can get you to the place to where he can start stripping you of your identity, piece by piece, he'll do it. If he can get you around friends that will just try to take your mind off of who you are and who you're called to be. And if that's you, I'm letting you know, I said, you probably just need to get away from them for a season or two. Why? Because all of creation is waiting for God to reveal his sons and daughters. Who they really are. And who you really are is your identity is in Christ. It's found in Jesus. And it's not just found in it's not found in isolation, but more so in a community of people. It's a whole lot easier to be bolder in your faith when you're around believers who believe the same thing. But when you're out there on your own, you're isolated. It's kind of hard. I like isolation a little bit. I'm the enemy's worst nightmare. Why? Because I'm introverted. That's where I draw my power. I say I lose a lot of energy being around a lot of people. But when I'm by myself, party. And people who are extroverted, they have to be around a lot of people. That's where they get their energy from. I'm introverted. I'm kind of both. I said I'm introverted with people I hate. I don't like. I don't say hate. I'm extroverted with people I like. But either way, all of creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. God ain't worried about your past. He's not worried about that argument, that fight that you had. Even if it was on the way to church. How many of you fought? Don't raise your hand on the way to church. On the way out the door. On the way in the door. You know, if the enemy can keep you stuck in fear, then here's the thing. You will never, ever be able to bust a move. You will never be able to move the way that he wants you to. You will never be able to flow that he wants you to. That's why we get up and we begin to prophesy. I said, if it has to start here today, do it. Because his words are spirit and they are life. And whatever is dead in your life, you begin speaking over it. And don't back down just because you don't see any results. The things that we see are temporary. The things that we don't see is eternal. You're going for the eternal result, not the temporary. Children of God are called to preach the gospel and to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. And your identity is found in Jesus. So it's time, if you've been out there, if you feel like, I said, if there's people that are watching this and you feel like you just don't have a place, I said, it's time to get back home to the household of faith. And that community of people. Nobody's perfect. No one's perfect. But it's time to get back into that community of people where you can draw strength again. so you understand where your identity is and who it comes from. Because it comes from God. It doesn't come from your job. It doesn't come from your through your kids or what have you. It doesn't come through your spouses. It comes from your relationship with Jesus. How's your knee? Don't just say it just because I want to hear that. Huh? Okay, then stand up. Let me see you stand up. Now do something that you couldn't do before. It still feels weird.
Yeah, it's like,
none.
Like right
Well, we command that gap to be closed. Keep working on it. Well, he's working on it. You just rest in that. You don't have to keep working. Your identity in Jesus is unchanging, even though the world around us is constantly changing. See, you will remember for two things before you leave this life. One thing is the problems that you may have created. You will be remembered for that. The problems that you have created. And the second thing is the problems that you may have solved. What will people remember you for? Are you that troublemaker or that problem solver? If you want to act like Dennis the Menace, you can go right ahead. But I'm going to let you know, Matthew 5:9, it says the children of God are peacemakers. Blessed who are those. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. God blesses those who work for peace. They will be called what? The children of God. I'd rather make peace. I'd rather work for peace than for chaos. If you want to stir stuff up in people's lives, God bless you. Don't get mad when you get trampled over. I mean, it always amazed me when I hear about somebody being gored by a bison or a buffalo. Oh, yeah. Number one, why were you there? And you have a 4-foot lens that you can get as close as you need to be, and you need to get right up on him and then slap him on the rear and thinking, well, if you want to do that, let me know. Let me grab some popcorn. It's going to be fun. You know, we create the problems. I don't know if you ever watched that Marvel movie, Spider-Man. Anybody watch Spider-Man? Why am I using this? I said, because there's this guy on Far From Home, this character called Mysterio. Mysterio created all the chaos and made it look like as if he was fighting something when it really wasn't. It was just an illusion. And sometimes we can create our own problems and then try to be the problem solvers and stuff. And it's like, we don't have to do that. It's that when we're standing for righteousness, when we're fighting for the things of God and for the oppressed and for the poor and what have you, I said, you don't have to create your own chaos. It's already there. Sometimes people will create their own chaos and use their own power, and God's not a part of that. He wants to be a part of that because all of creation is waiting, anticipating for him to reveal who his children really are. And it's going to be revealed through you. You have the love of God in you. I have not ever seen anybody who lived on the level that Jesus did when it came to love. Jesus knew who Judas was. And yet he never told anybody, don't give to our ministry. What was Judas? A thief. He helped himself to the treasury. We talked about in John 12. He never said that. He knew who he was. Still let him do it. That blows my mind. Knew who was going to betray him. Still let him. Hey, go ahead and do what you're going to do. I'm going to stop you. Peter denied him. Peter, Jesus, I'll follow you everywhere. Peter, before the night's up, you're going to deny me 3 times, man. And he's cool with it. Why? Because his faith was dependent upon God. Sometimes our faith is dependent upon ourselves, and we have to control everything. God wants us to put 100% trust in him. 100%. It says perfect love casts out all fear. If you're fearing, that means you're not in perfect love. I'm not saying it's wrong to fear. In order for faith to be present, fear needs to be there too. So you just override that faith with that fear with faith, not faith with fear. That's the wrong way. All of creation anticipating for God to reveal who his children really are. So it's so important for you to rock, to roll with, to hang out with people who are just like you. Well, Jesus hung out with sinners, I said, but yeah, more importantly, he hung out with his disciples. He didn't do it alone. He did it with his group. Because if it's just one and two unbelievers or what have you, I said, pretty soon that unbeliever is going to have more of an effect on that believer than anything else. Doesn't mean that God isn't going to like you. Just means that when you start seeing your identity being stripped away and you forget who you are, time to get back to the household of faith. Time to get back. All of creation anticipates what God is going to reveal in you. So get your mind off that past. Doesn't matter. God knew it. He knew what you were going to do. He knew who you were going to cheer for. Even if it is the doggone cheese. He loves you too. All of creation. Roberto is waiting for God to reveal who his children really are. How's that knee? About the same. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, John 1:12 says, all who have accepted and believe in Jesus are the children of God. He made it very simple, very easy. If you accepted him and you believed in him, he has given you the right to become children of God. So you go from being down here to right up here. He made men a little lower than the angels. And yet, when you've accepted him, he's raised you up. So stop beating yourself up. If you would have done this, that never would have happened. It was going to happen. But you know what? Here's the thing. You don't ever have to do life alone. Ever. So if you get to the place to where you stray away from the household of faith, your identity is being stripped away, come back. Go somewhere else or what have you. I said, but go somewhere where the believers are, because that's your family. That's where you belong. That's where you're equipped. It's where you're called. I did everything I could in order to run away. And ran smack into it. You got a call? No, I don't. Coming to Kansas. See how that worked out. Hallelujah. Put that scripture, Matthew 5, up again. God blesses those who work for peace. That's you. You. Andrew, that's you. He blesses you. You're a person that works for peace. You don't cause chaos. Because you're a child of God. And as he's continued to mend your heart through everything you're going through, you're going to see his love just overwhelm you. Not just through your family, but through your friends and through the times that you're spending reading his word. You're going to see that. You're a child that blesses the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why do you look familiar? What's your name?
Me.
Yes, ma'am.
Ashley.
Ashley. From, huh?
Ashley Haynes.
Haynes.
Colby.
Okay.
Brent, cool. My nephew.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Ashley. I remember that. Thank you, Jesus, for Ashley. Amen. Thank you. Well, thank God. Yeah. Stand up. That just keeps working on me. Stand up. Come here. Get on one leg. One leg. Yeah, you're that leg right there. In the name of Jesus. Thank you.
It's pretty shaky.
Yeah. Be still in the name of Jesus. Okay, put it down. There was a time when we were at one of you, can stay right there. We were doing R3, we were doing a lock-in, and we were, y'all forgive us, but we were running around these chairs. You remember that, Cass? It was a night, and you remember Z? She was running, and then knee popped out of place. Without it, so she was over here, so we would just go back to, no, me. I was just getting everybody back to the seats, what have you, and she was over there crying, bawling. And then, you know, a few of the students were coming over and trying to help her ease her pain and stuff, and we all just went right back over there, prayed for her, felt her knee just pop right back in place. She was good. And that could have been something that, you know, like a dislocated shoulder. I'll put it back in, you know, Lethal Weapon style or what have you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Receive it. Receive it. Say, Lord,
Lord,
I receive
your healing
for my knee.
Money.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We thank you. One leg. Give me one leg. Twitching. Still twitching.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. You're good. Get on your toes. In the name of Jesus. That hurt. Little, like a pinch, huh?
Yeah.
It's a pinch. You can go sit down. I'm going to call you back up here again. So, I mean, it's just. all of creation anticipates, is eagerly waiting for God to reveal his sons and daughters. You are his sons and daughters. Never allow anybody to strip you of your identity. Ever. That's so important. You can't fight the enemy on his level. You got to fight him on the level that you're called to be. In the image of God, of everything that he created you just like him. And you can't fight him on that level. You can't keep him under your feet. Ashley, in the name of Jesus, thank you. You said it, you're his aunt?
You are.
Mac,
he moved
to Hayes.
Your
name is Mac?
Lewis.
Mac and Lewis. Lewis and Mac. Okay.
I'm here this weekend to stay with my grandparents, and my grandfather's not been a believer. He's 91, and I got to speak to him this weekend about the love of Jesus.
Amen. That's awesome. All of creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. 91 years and he was waiting for that. That's awesome. See, if we are always drowning in our sorrows, people won't be able to see or hear about Jesus, about the love of Christ, if we're just focused on ourselves. Tammy, I see a warrior in you. That's just a word just coming across your head, this warrior, right above it, right by your glasses, warrior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just speak against all that stuff that's coming on campus there at Fort Hayes. In the name of Jesus. That's not you. That's not your love. And we just come against that. Father, if they're going down the wrong path, Lord, we just help them to bring them right back in line with what your word says. You do love people, but you hate evil even more. So we come against that right now. And we pray for all those leaders out there. They're being pressured for certain things. We just believe that we will have leaders that are sold out to you and not sold out to money. Leaders that are sold out to God. Leaders that are sold out to the truth. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're getting ready to receive communion. Thank you, Ben. In communion, you get the kids. The kids are in here? They're all in here. Y'all beat me to the punch. Communion and other breaking bread with the body of Christ helps us to bring us together in unity and faith in Jesus. It also helps us to remind us that our identity is in Christ. It takes us further than human or religious traditions that has been passed down from person to person. Breaking bread represents the body of Christ, and drinking this juice represents the blood which washes away our sins and heals us from all diseases. It's not a tradition, but a command that he gives us. When he says, do this in remembrance of me. Every believer that chooses to be obedient is able to partake in the Lord's Supper. So what are we obedient to? His word. In order to have a relationship with the Father, you have to believe in Jesus. In order to partake in this Holy Communion, you must be born again. And so if you've never asked Jesus into your life and you want to do that for the first time, just say, Lord, I believe in what you've done for me. I believe in your name, Jesus. And I thank you for dying for my sins. And you do that with all your heart. You don't have to back down from that. You can do that with all your heart. You fully confess it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart. In Luke 22:19, it says, he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. This communion spiritually connects us to the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Even in the book of Acts, the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and broke bread with each of them in their homes. In verse 43 in Acts chapter 2, it says, a deep sense of awe came over them, and all the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. People, when your heart is pure before God and there is no hidden motive, but to be intimate with him and to know him in fellowship with other believers, great miracles were at work. Why? Because of the connection of God to man to believers. Miracles. From God to man to believers. Miracles. Say that. From God to man to believers. Miracles. Great miracles were at work in the early church. Because there was no hidden motive. Just to love God, to fellowship with him and his believers, and to devote themselves to the teachings of his word and break some bread with people. How pure is that? No hidden agenda whatsoever. It's time we get back to that. I just want to learn more about Jesus. I just want to learn more about what God has done for us. No hidden agenda. The purity of it, you're going to see great miracles operate in your life. Why? Because all of creation is waiting for God to reveal what's in his children. Amen. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your blood and your body, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that every sickness, every disease, every ailment, every torn cartilage, Lord, that you have died for. And we thank you for complete healing in our body. And if we have any animosity towards anyone, Father God, we just ask that you just remove that in our hearts so we can love like you love, Jesus. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.